All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Brother Frank, for hosting the Jubilee. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I didn't get home till a little after 12 and then got into bed after 1. And so I'm weary from well-doing, but I'm glad God's still good to us and He still gives us the strength. Amen. And I appreciate the message. Amen. I tell you right now, I've told the church many a times, my biggest enemy is me. I fight more with myself than the devil ever fights me, you know. And I lose all the battles with self. But I'll tell you what, God is still good, and He does still give us strength to go on. And I don't know about you, but this year has been a trying year, hadn't it, Frank? For all of us, probably. But the Lord has seen fit to give us the strength to carry on. There's been times when we wanted to throw up our hands and say, what's the use? But I'm glad God doesn't let us quit. Amen. I'll tell you what, the gifts of God are without repentance. Amen. And if God's called us to do a work and He's called us to preach or do a job, I'm telling you, we need to be faithful in the day and hour in which we do that. Amen. Amen. Time's running out. Our families are dying. Our children are dying. Our grandchildren are dying and going to hell while we think about quitting and throwing in the towel. But as we think about all the goodness of God and what He's done for us down through the years, I sit there and think, how can I not serve the one that gave me everything? Amen. I told them last night, I said, you know, as we began last night, I told them, I said, you know, when I was lost, I thought I didn't have any hope, and I didn't have any hope. And I'd look around and I'd see people, and they had families, and they had children and grandchildren and homes. And I said, you know, those things were never meant for me, Brother Frank. But I'll tell you what, since the day God saved me in 1975, things have been different. And I'll tell you what, all the things that I thought I couldn't ever have, I have today because of the grace of God. But the greatest thing that you and I have is peace, joy, and happiness in the Lord. I'll tell you what, people say, oh, this life is hard. And I know what they mean, but I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us that the way of the transgressor is hard. That life we lived before we were saved, it's a hard life. You carry the burdens of sin day in and day out. And if you're like me, you'd go to sleep or try to go to sleep with whatever you took that night and realize that, hey, if you died, you'd go to a devil's hell. But I'm glad God in His mercy has a time, He has a place that where He can change you if you're willing to let Him change you. But anyway, in the day and hour in which we live, we realize that there's a great falling away. As He said also that there's many preachers that are slipping. None of us are exempt from that. Amen. All of us can fall, and the Lord can still pick us up and use us. But let us go on this thought right here today. For the next few minutes, and Brother Gene told me about 20 minutes, and I told him, I said, well, just give me a nod whenever it gets close so I'll know. But anyway, because, you know, well, Frank's got a clock in the back too, just like our church. Okay. Well, I'll be looking and I'll be conscious of time. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn over into Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And if you can and will, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 20. And we'll just look at a couple of verses right now, and then we'll back up and read some more. Acts chapter 20, verse number 26 and verse number 27. And if you have your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 26. Paul is saying here, wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he even says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Brother Frank, you pray for us. Touch us, Jesus.
May the power of the Holy Spirit be poured out. Touch our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Paul here, what he is saying, really, in essence, and what I'd say to you today, we need to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I've been character witness at several court trials and things, and they would always ask me if you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about the person which you were they were trying or you were a character witness for. And we would tell the truth, amen, about the individual. And so, nevertheless, Paul here is saying, I've not shunned to preach the whole counsel of God to you. And if there's anything we ever need to preach today, it's the truth of God's Word today. We hear so much preaching that doesn't have anything to do with preaching. We hear about all this positive preaching. Now, I'm a positive preacher, but I tell them, hey, if you don't positively get saved, you're not going to make it to heaven. Amen. I'm all for positive preaching, but I'm just here to tell you today, we need to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. And Paul said, I have told you the truth, and now the blood is not on my hands anymore. And you know what? Hey, if we don't tell people the truth, the blood will be on our hands at the judgment seat of Christ. But he said, what are you talking about when you tell people the whole truth? Well, we need to tell them the truth about God, first of all, that there is only one God. And in this world which we live, you know, I've said it to the church many times, there's over 2,000 beliefs. Can you imagine 2,000 beliefs? But there's only two true religions, the true and the false. And you and I today, we serve the true God, amen. Our God not only he saves us, our God not only heals our infirmities, our God not only encourages us, but he is a God like no other God. Hey, people today bow down and they bow down to statues of Mary and they bow down to this and bow down to that and they worship this and their God can't do nothing for them. We serve a God that is able to help us in our present trouble and in time of need. Amen. We need to tell them about the righteousness of God. I tell you, God's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's a sovereign God. I hear people today, and had some of my family members said, when somebody would die, like my daddy when he passed away, well, daddy's up there, and he's in heaven, and they're at the great fishing pond. Honey, let me tell you something. There ain't no great fishing pond in heaven. There is a river of life, though, amen, that flows out of the throne of God. When, now you race fans, I'm going to mess you up on this. When Dale Earnhardt died, all I heard around everywhere, well, he's a racing in the big track in the sky. Let me tell you something. He ain't a racing in no track in the sky. If he did make it to heaven, I'm telling you what he's doing, the same thing that the angels are doing, the same thing you and I are going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping a holy and a sovereign God. And we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That nonsense, buddy, we need to tell people the truth about that mess. I tell our people, listen, if you believe some of that crap, you've got rocks in your head. Because there ain't no fishing pond in the sky. There ain't no racetrack up there. They don't care about NASCAR up there. Buddy, I'm telling you one thing. When we get to heaven, the only thing we're going to think about is the one that's sitting on the throne of God. So we need to tell them that we're the righteous God. And he's a holy God. And he's a sovereign God. And there is no other God like our God. Well, we need to tell him the truth about his righteousness. But we need to tell him the truth about his love too. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. No one ever could take the sin and darkness from me. Thank God for the love of God. I tell you right now, thank God that he loved us. Hey, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I say it to the church, I say it to you today. When I cussed God, when I swore against him, when I live contrary to his laws, do you know what? Now we get to thinking that we merit this love, Frank. We get to thinking that God, hey, we merit this love. Hey, because I'm trying to live better now and I'm living for God, He loves me more. Let me tell you something. The love of God has never changed. Ever, hey, just because you and I serve Him today, His love has always been the same. It will always remain the same. It never changes. He loved me while I was a sinner just as much as He loves me today, preaching the Word of God. No one loved me like Jesus. No one loved you like Jesus. And we need to tell those people in the pews, no greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you keep my commandments. So we tell them about the righteousness of God. We tell them about the love of God. But hey, let me tell you something. Thank God for the patience of God also. God is patient. He's patient with sinners. He's patient with preachers. Thank God He's been patient with me. There's many a times if I'd have been God, I'd have wiped me off of the map, amen. And He'd have wiped you off of the map. But He is long-suffering, amen. He's patient with us. But we can tell them about the righteousness of God. We can tell them about the love of God. We need to tell them about the patience of God. That how He woos and how He continually deals with the sinner and how He even deals with the Christian. That He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But there's also another side of God. There's the wrath of God. And you know what? That's what we don't hear today. We want everything to be nice, 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 good, good, good. But hey, let me tell you something. The same God that's a righteous God, hey, has to have His wrath and His anger also to be just. You say, where is the wrath of God? All you got to do is go back in the days of Noah. You'll see the wrath of God. Oh, that's Old Testament. I don't care. Hey, let me tell you something. One of these days, the wrath of God's going to fall on this world that we're living in. Amen. Now, thank God for us that are saved. We're going to be gone. But the wrath of God is coming because Jesus said, I'm coming back in the clouds. Hey, I'm going to raise the dead, and we which are alive are going to follow Him, them up there to be with Him forever with the Lord. Now, I'm just telling you, there's a wrath of God. Can you imagine that day and that hour in Noah's time? You know what they were doing? Same thing they're doing today. People never change. Did you know that? People don't change. Sin has always been the same. We think that there's new sins coming out today. The Bible tells you and I, there is nothing new under the sun, honey. What was back then is today. I just believe it's more open today. It's more publicized because of all the news media and all the iPhones and the earphones and the headphones and all them other phones. But there's a wrath coming. And I'm going to tell you what, hey, in Noah's day, you know what he done? He worked. He builded. He worked, he builded, and he preached. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. And that's what you and I ought to be doing today. We ought to keep on working for the Lord, but we ought to be telling this world, telling our churches, repent or perish. Yep. Well, you know what? They like a lot of other hard-headed, stubborn people. Some of them had to have been backslid Baptists out yonder or religious crowds because you know what? They didn't believe a thing he said. Not one thing did he said. But honey, let me tell you something. I want you to just picture that. When Noah's wife went down to the, I'm paraphrasing, thinking ahead. Hey, when Noah's wife went down there to the grocery store to get her groceries, Frank. Hey, that crowd, them little old women over there in that corner. Hey, look, hey, that's that crazy woman that believes her husband building that boat over there. And the kids would go down there and they'd make fun of the kids just like they do now. Listen, honey, they make fun of you. They make fun of your wife. They make fun of your kids. But honey, let me tell you something. There's coming a day when the water starts coming down and the water starts coming up. And you know what? Hey, when it gets about here, they quit laughing. When it gets up here and they're gurgling that stuff, you know what I could see them doing? They're clawing at that boat, hollering, Noah, let us in. But here I'm telling you, honey, God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, nobody's going to open it. And one of these days, God's going to shut the door on this world down here, and ain't nobody going to open that door either, honey. So we need to tell them about the righteousness of God. We need to tell them about the love of God, the patience of God, the wrath of God. And then we need to tell them the truth about sin. We could park there with a whole message. Tell them the truth about sin. Tell them that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Didn't say might die, maybe die. Surely die. Sin's not just simply an error. Now we got people today in denominations, and this is what's being preached. I know I come out of one, so I know what they preach. They preach you can lose your salvation. Now this has been many years ago. It's been 40 years now for me. About 35 years ago, I come out of that mess. They say that you can lose your salvation. They say after you get saved, you don't sin no more. Well, honey, let me tell you something. I had a problem. And I'd say, well, I know the day God saved me. I know when he changed me. I could take you to the place, to the very spot where I prayed and asked God to help, and he changed my life. I know I was saved. But now, I did some things wrong. And I found out, hey, that I had two natures inside. Paul said when he wanted to do good, evil was present. David had the same problem. Same problem you and I got. We got an old nature in here. And we need to let people know that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But see, we don't want to bother nobody. We want them to be comfortable on their way to hell. Well, let me tell you something. Frank knows, most of these other fellas know, hey, if you come to New Life Baptist Chapel and we talk about certain things, you ain't going to be comfortable. It's not my job to make you comfortable. That's why they got recliners and Razy Boys. But I don't make people comfortable. I have positive messages I preach to encourage God's people. I have that. But I also got some negative stuff that I preach too. Hey, by the way, Paul preached negatively very much. Amen. All his wasn't the power of positive thinking. And it wasn't something good's going to happen to you today either. Honey, because I'm telling you, if we don't get back to God, something bad is going to happen. We need to tell them sin is just not simply an error. Now, this people, now here's my logic. This is just old plain horse sense to me. Now, if I've been taught that one and one is two, that's pretty simple, ain't it? I know that, right? You know that. One and one is two. And I put down four. Well, hey, that's not a mistake. Because I've been taught different. We've been taught out of the Word of the living God. We know what sin is. And by the way, God has given every man a moral conscience. I knew when I was lost what I was doing was wrong. The drinking, the doping, the shacking up, I knew all that was wrong. But you know what? We got people sitting in the church house today shacking up, doing all that same stuff and saying they're going to heaven. Hey, it's not a mistake, it's sin. Now, I never intend to run anybody off. We've got a lady that's been visiting several times. And she don't think like we do. She's not been in church hardly none. But she's a lesbian. Now, it's not my job to make her comfortable. But there again, it's not my job to run her out of God's house. I tell our church, let me tell you something. I don't care what people have done when they come through them doors. I don't care what the world has labeled them. I don't care how many times they've been in jail. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they in. But hey, when they come through them doors, they better see the love of God here. Because if they don't, you and I are going to be guilty of running them off. You say, what did you preach? Hey, I preached about a lifestyle. I preached about a lifestyle that when God saves you, now I didn't have to call no names. I didn't have to say anything. But God changes your behavior. You get the message. She got the message. But we need to be truthful about sin. And by the way, we're always on the other crowd. But what about the church crowd, Brother Frank? I tell our people all the time, you can talk to them people. But by the way, we don't run them down no more. We pray for them. Yeah.
Thursday night, our church gathers together on another night other than prayer meeting night, Wednesday night, and we pray for these people. We pray for our community around there. We pray. We've cussed them. We've talked about them like dogs. We've said this and that about them. I told the church, I'm tired of hearing about that. I want to pray for them. Amen. Because that's the only thing that's going to get them to God and invite them to church. Even if you have to feed them every now and then, we get them there. But I'm here to tell you, friends, we need to tell them about sin. We need to tell them that there's pleasure in sin for a season. It lasts for a while. I used to have a lot of fun in sin, but it didn't last long because sin always catches up with you. Sin is a transgression of God's law, breaks the heart of God. And as you mentioned there, King David, it broke God's heart when David sinned. Thank you, Gene. God bless you. He's over. Hey, look like one of them guys at the church over there. Hey, gets about 15 after 12 and But listen, we need to tell them the truth, and I'm quitting right now, about God. We need to tell them the truth about sin. We need to tell them the truth about death. We need to tell them the truth about the judgment of the great white throne judgment and the judgment for the seed of for the Christian. We need to tell them the truth about salvation. And you know what Paul said? I've told them the truth. And by the way, when we tell them the truth will set them free. It set me free. It set you free, because that's the only thing that's going to set us free. God bless you.